Chapter 20. Griffane of the Firewing. Caliban. The antechamber to the Hall of Decimil was itself larger than many audience chambers within Alderuk, and the complement of dark angels gathering within it did little to fill the space. Their mission was still active, and so, despite being on home soil, surrounded by the fortifications of Alderuk, by decree every warrior remained armoured and armed. Luther had expected as much, was counting upon it. He had confided to Zahariel when he had impressed upon the Master of the Misti the importance of his psyker's role in the unfolding drama. The Dark Angels came together in a knot just a few metres from the great doors, clustered together despite the space into which they could have drifted. They unconsciously divided into smaller groups that were subtle but perfectly visible from the balcony above, where Zahariel watched with his Misti beside him. They too were clad in battle plate, pistols and blades worn on their belts. The officers, four of them in addition to Belath, stood the closest to the doors, expecting to be admitted first. They said little to each other and watched their subordinates closely. Occasionally one or other would glance up towards the balcony, but they paid little attention to their observers. The librarian, Asmodeus, stood a little way from the other ranking space marines, face set with concentration.
"That is why we cannot scan them from here," Zahariel said to his companions, using thoughts rather than words. "Do not stray from the plan, and they will never know that we have been probing them."
The others, 31 of them, were grouped into three clutches of varying size. Most of them, 20 or so, stood apart from the officers and talked quietly, gesturing to their grand surroundings. Zahariel could feel relief and a sense of homecoming from them, and knew that they had been the individuals assigned to command of the transports, weeks in the warp, alone in the raging storms, and not knowing if they would ever see Caliban or their brothers again. They would be from all across Corswain's command, from different orders and chapters, volunteers most likely.
"A strange cabal of warriors," Vasago's thoughts came to Zahariel directly, but he felt the touch of the others' minds too. "To forego the ongoing battle against Typhon and his Death Guard, to captain a virtually unarmed troop transport through the tempests that befoul the warp."
"Ambitious, perhaps," suggested Carthaeus.
Zahariel shook his head.
"Unlikely. Lone space marines commanding crews of menials. Little chance of citation and promotion, even if it does demonstrate a peculiar type of courage."
"Discontents, more likely, happy to be away from the all-seeing gaze of the Legion," said Vasago, his thoughts tinted by a wash of hope that such would be the case.
"That does not automatically make them allies," countered Astridale.
"Or useful ones, at any rate."
The more Zahariel considered this, the less he was convinced.
"The opposite of troublemakers," he told the Misti. "They had to be utterly dedicated. Totally loyal to Corswain and the Legion, trusted enough to get to Caliban and then to set out in search of the Dark Angels' fleet somewhere in the vastness of the galaxy with a force that could topple a world."
"But to send away his best cadre?" asked Carthaeus.
"He needs 30,000 warriors more than he needed a few dozen of his best."
"Wait, another comes."
Vasago's blunt thought broke through any further contemplation of the remaining Dark Angels.
"As the forests are green, I don't believe it. Nobody said that the spearcast had returned."
The legionary who had entered was uniformed as the rest, but for a thick black sash that was draped over his left shoulder, obscuring the markings beneath. From the remaining livery, it was possible to tell that he held the rank of sergeant-at-arms, but from the way the conversation stopped and all eyes turned to him, it was clear that he carried more authority than simple rank. Zahariel knew him immediately, in person and by repute. He spoke aloud.
"Griffane."
The other groups immediately reorganized themselves, eight of the space marines breaking away to meet the new arrival. They held close conference for a few seconds, and then Griffane moved away to stand with the officers beside Belath.
"Why would Corswain send away the voted lieutenant of the Firewing?" Vasago asked.
"He wears a half-shroud," pointed out Carthaeus, referring to the obscured heraldry. "His position is in abeyance." Not to his Firewing brethren, Zahariel replied, drawing their attention to the Space Marines that had spoken to Griffane. They talked quickly with the other groups, passing on some message or other. Some of the other Dark Angels nodded, while some looked stony-faced and turned away. Zahariel watched this micro-political interplay with fascination, wondering how it would end and what had caused such fault lines to emerge and shift. The answer to the second question was perhaps answered when, 2 minutes after Griffane had appeared, Lord Cypher entered the antechamber. The Guardian of the Order wore his full, ornate helm, still showing nothing of his features. He stepped to one side, heralding the entry of Luther. The Grand Master wore black powered plate fashioned for him by the Lion's personal armourers, the overlapping bands and heavily riveted vambraces and greaves reminiscent of the early marks of Legionis Astartes' armour. A cloak of striped pelt, white and red, hung from his shoulders, and the colours were repeated on a prominent shield-shaped besague between the cuirass and left pauldron. His arrival signalled to Zahariel that it was time to join the company. The Mistai descended as Luther strode across the hall to greet Belath and his companions. By the time Zahariel had reached the bottom of the winding iron staircase, the chapter master was being ushered towards the main hall. The Psykers waited to one side as Lord Cypher directed the remaining Dark Angels to follow their officers. Zahariel exchanged looks with his Mistai as the last of Belath's Space Marines strode into the banqueting hall. Asmodeus will sit with the officers. Do not try to open up any of their thoughts, he said, repeating the warning he had given twice already, but feeling no guilt for labouring the point. Work softly and smoothly through the others. If you cannot get a firm response from a light scan, move on, and I will attend to it. Do not force your way in, nor try to prize free that which does not come easily. They looked at him with the patient expressions of loyal followers that knew well what they had to do, enduring the lecture with good grace. Agitated by what might happen in the next hour or two, Zahariel had no patience in return. The future of Caliban depends upon us this night, he reminded them. A stray move, a wrong step, and not only will the Order be damned, we condemn our world to an eternity of slavery. Are you prepared? Their looks were more sincere now as they nodded their readiness. Good. He half turned and waved a group of serfs that had silently entered, each bearing a wide silver tray laden with goblets, half silver and half gold on each salver. Now, let us honour our guests in proper fashion. The roar of plasma jets drowned out Galadon's words as he hurried across the black landing apron of the launch port. Dust from the Stormbird's downdraft whirled around the chaptermaster as he caught up with Astolan at the foot of the ramp.
"What was that?"
the First Master asked with a shout.
"A transmission from Lord Cypher,"
Galadon said again, leaning closer.
"He says that Griffane will likely keep his oaths to the Order." "Likely? Was that the exact word he used? Not very likely or most likely?" "His actual word, First Master."
Astolan nodded his acceptance of the message and started up the ramp, Galadon at his heel. He stopped a few strides from the top, caught in two minds. This state of hesitation annoyed him, an unfamiliar sense of doubt creeping into his thoughts.
"That will soften Sir Luther's mood, I suspect," he said to Galadon. "If Griffane has agreed to sit at the council table, Belath could follow. Isn't that a good thing? More warriors to the cause, commanders at that. Wouldn't we rather avoid having to take more prisoners?"
Astolan grimaced, unseen behind the visored mask of his helm. It was imperative that he maintained his place within Luther's inner circle. The inclusion of Griffane and possibly Belath threatened that. Both were Calibanites, and neither thought kindly of Astolan. One he might be able to control, but both... He hurried up the last few meters of the ramp.
"You are right. I am dead against taking more prisoners, Galadon. Dead against it."